Boo. Did that scare you?
No, but that's a hell of a costume.
That is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like this. Well, I'm going old school today.
You're mad.
We are dressing up on the TV broadcast on the Vegas Golden Knights for Halloween.
Are you?
Yeah.
You always liked doing that, didn't you, when you were with Nick?
And we had some good costumes back in the day with Kipper and McLean on Hockey Central at noon. And I think if it falls on Halloween, if you're doing a show on Halloween, buy in. Have some fun with it. Now, I will admit to this plan. We are only doing it for the pregame show because I think it becomes a little awkward should things not turn out to be a great day for the hockey team to be sitting there in a costume covering your team dressed up. So we're going to take them off after the pregame show.
Really?
What's your favorite costume of all time? Mine was Ace Frehley.
Oh, I'm
Space
not,
Man,
I'm,
God rest I, your soul.
I don't know. I probably dressed up more as an adult with my kids than I did when I was 10 or 11 years old. Although I did dress up. I don't know. I was kind of a nerd as a kid. So you
thought you were too cool to dress up?
No. I had strength. If I tell you who I dressed up as, you'll think I was a nerd. So.
Nerdier.
More of a nerd. I dressed up one year as a Admiral Horatio Nelson.
Okay, nerd.
who was the British naval admiral at the Battle of Trafalgar and beat Napoleon's navy
and did anybody know who the hell you were dressed up as?
No. But I loved heroic figures. I loved heroic figures. I think I went as Churchill one year too. You know,
That would be cool.
Yeah,
that one, but big story.
How do you dress up as Churchill? Come on, seriously. When you're nine, seriously, how do you dress up? But I did. I dressed up as Lord Horatio Nelson one year because he only had one eye. He only had one arm. He was basically crippled. And won the Battle of Trafalgar and died at the battle. And that's why the Trafalgar Square, there's a statue of Lord Nelson.
Wow. Good for you. And what did you model your costume off of? Did you go to the encyclopedia?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It was really
hard. There was a shot in there, by the way.
Yeah. It was really hard when you'd go and say trick or treat and they would say, oh, and who are you? And then you'd say, I'd say I'm Lord Horatio Nelson. And they would go,
well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like a very nice person.
Yeah.
Was he real?
I loved the costume, but it didn't go over great.
Edmonton earlier this week had a scary moment when their coach went off on the team and they rebounded and they turned around and they ended up winning the game. And then the Oilers give it right back. You're in Edmonton to do a function with the Alberta Golden Bears. What's the vibe in around the capital city?
Well, I people are waiting for the team to play 60 minutes. You look at their last three games, they played 20 minutes in Vancouver, which was the third period to force the game to overtime. On Tuesday night, after Chris Knobloch's session in the first intermission, they played a great 40 minutes. Last night against the Rangers, they played well for the first 40 minutes and then fell apart in the third period before losing in overtime. I think people are waiting for this team to play a 60-minute hockey game because they haven't seen it, I think, since the second game of the season on a Saturday night when they beat Vancouver, but it's been a strange start to a season, but it's not unnatural for this team to have strange starts to seasons. That seems to be part of their DNA these days.
Okay, Connor's not off to a great start. The goaltending is always a hot topic in Edmonton. Yeah. Evan Bouchard has struggled in a couple of games. Who's taken the heat?
I think Bouchard's taking the heat, and Stuart Skinner will always take the heat. Stuart Skinner will always be criticized. He made one play last night in the first period where he tried to move the puck behind his net. It hit the net. Nothing bad happened, but you could feel the people go, Stuart, stay in goal. You know, stop trying to move the puck yourself. It cost them a goal earlier in the week. It's an issue that people are unforgiving about in Edmonton, the goaltending. It's funny, there have been some really good stories with this club too. Jack Roslovich has come in and played well. The two kids, they really, Ike Howard.
They got a first goal last night.
And Savoy, yeah. They want them to play. They want them to play here, not in the American League. Now what's happened is that they're counting the days to the return of Zach Hyman, which looks like it'll be around November the 10th. And so, but it's almost like people are just waiting. And what Knobloch's tried to do is he's tried to find that spark. It's comparable to what we saw with them in the Stanley Cup final last year, Darren. He tried to make roster changes to get that spark, whether it was a lineup change or whether it was going 11-7. Last two games, they've gone 11-7. They were 11-7 in their win against Utah, and they went 11-7 in getting the point last night with the Rangers. But there's no consistency.
Evan Bouchard's got to be cleaner.
Yeah, well, and two nights ago it was Darnell Nurse who got benched. So it's not that there's anything terribly wrong. It's just they're not firing on all cylinders. And I mean, in a long season, after playing two long postseasons, you can understand them being tired. Or not knowing the importance of this time of year, because all you need to do is get in, and do that, yeah. But by the way, Barry Trotz is going to come in on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to Parkland's one and only.
Yeah, he's going to come on. So his Predators are having their own struggles.
Up and down. There's been some good and a little bad and mushy middle for the Nashville Predators. So we'll slide over to Barry Trotz. I didn't know that he was going to join us. I thought this was going to be you and I show. Barry's going to crash the party.
I know you like these two-man shows.
Yeah, that's okay. He's in Manitoba. I'll make room for him. Barry Trotz, general manager of the Nashville Predators, on the way on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Win, repeat, on the ice and online. Keep the energy going with NHL Game Zone, the ultimate hockey hub for free-to-play games, prizes, and non-stop competition. Take your best shot with games like NHL Lines, Bingo, Bracket Challenge, and more. Challenge yourself and battle your friends and hockey fans worldwide. Play games for chances to win awesome NHL prizes. NHL Game Zone, your one stop for hockey free-to-play gaming. Play today at nhl.com/gamezone. Terms and conditions apply.
Slide over and make some room for the general manager of the Nashville Predators. And let's peel back the curtain a little bit. We were working through some technical difficulties. And I love Barry, as we welcome Barry Trotz to the program, watching John Shannon take over, go into producer mode and handle everything. He's texting you. He's talking to you. It was great.
It was good. Yeah. I said I'd send him a letter. Obviously we had a strike, so we wouldn't see that for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's nice to see you smile, even though after a loss last night against the Flyers.
Yeah, no, I thought we played really, really well. We just couldn't find the back of the net. We got an interior play. I think the shots after about 30 minutes of the game were like 19-4 or something like that. We really had a lot of zone time, and we started pressing, and then they ended up getting a goal. And I got really got two. We got the made it 2-1, and then I thought there was a little bit of an on call on a power play pick And it ends up being 3-1, and then pull your goalie, and it's a 4-1 game. But I believe, as I said to the coaches, I believe in process. You know, if you play well, you're not going to win every game. You're going to get sometimes, you know, you're going to get a goalie steal or whatever. But if you're playing consistently longer periods of time, then you're gonna win hockey games. So, you know, last night we probably deserved the better fate, but that's what makes this game really great, is that you don't always get the results. So how you deal with the next game is going to be really important.
I'm sure that everybody's a little tighter coming off of last year and wanting the immediate response and the results that you're hoping for. So what's the mood around the coaching staff and the players through the first 10, where it's been up and down?
Yeah, I think it's been, I think we've been pretty consistent. I mean, I think the coaching staff felt it a lot more last year. There was a lot of hype and pressure last year. I think we're in the reality of, you know, we're in I call it a build. We're, you know, ideally on all of our lines, we have a young player. We've got a lot of young players who we've drafted the last few years, and they're starting to integrate. Unfortunately, they're the 21 year old players that are just getting their feet wet. So you're not necessarily can lean on them right now as much as you'd like to. You're going to lean on them in a couple years. But every line has sort of two veterans and one rookie on each line. We have, I think we have six first rounders in Milwaukee playing right now. So, and they're going to be our call up players. So we're in that phase of our sort of development and build. I mean, we played the Flyers last night, and I'm good friends with Danny Brière, and I got the coach Keith Jones for a year. And we were talking about they're probably 2 years ahead of us in terms of their build when they started their process. So, only way to get better is right now there's not a lot of free agency or anything like that. So it's drafting. And we've had a lot of swings at it, and we're just waiting for our kids to hopefully develop and get here.
You know, baseball season is going to end in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
And they always talk about, in a 162-game schedule, it's probably around the 60-game mark where you start to know what your team is. What is it with an 82-game schedule in hockey?
I think you know what your team is at about the 20-game mark. If you look at last year, I think I looked at it 20 games and I sort of knew that we were going to be a team that either came together or wasn't going to come together. And so I didn't feel it was going to come together. So I made a lot of moves last year preparing for this year, getting younger. We got about 4 years younger, in average in terms of all the players that we moved out versus the players we brought in.
So what are your expectations for the competitiveness this year as it relates to the playoffs?
Well, I think I was looking the other day, we lost the other night, but I think it was 2 days ago. I mean, I was looking at the schedule, and there's a couple of teams that have got off to great starts, you know, the Montreal Canadiens and a couple of teams like that. Pittsburgh, I think, is 8-2-2, something like that. But the rest of the league, we're all 500. So,
yeah,
I really, as I was saying to our coaches, I said, we always talk about Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving as a date to see if you're going to be in. But I look at it, you've got to be within a couple points of that playoff spot, really by November 1st type of thing. So you got to be within 2 to 4 points. So if we can get a couple wins on the weekend here, we're going to be right there. So
yeah, the mushy middle has grown, hasn't it?
It has. I just think that there's still some really good teams. I think the teams that are, and you look at good examples that you guys see out east is Montreal and Detroit. I mean, they've had to go through some, I'll just say some pain, but they were patient and they had some lean years, and those lean years created some pretty good draft choices. And now they're just, they're starting to thrive. They're in that window of 22 to 24, I guess, and some of their younger players, and they had some good core players like Suzuki and people like that are already there. So, and Matheson on the back end. So, they've got off to a real good start.
What kind of pain level are you expecting, or have you gone through it?
I don't think so. I was just saying, you know, you look back at the last couple of years. I mean, when I first got here, they had they made all the trades with the Ekholms and the Janots and the Niederreiters, and we thought we'd have Payne. Well, we got eliminated in game 81. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be Payne year number one, and then, you know, year two, we ended up making the playoffs and playing Vancouver. That was known as the U2 trip, or the, you know, the
right.
And so
at the Sphere,
yeah. And we made the playoffs. So those 2 years we expected to have a lot of pain, and we haven't had it. And then last year was very painful because the expectations were a lot higher, and we did not do well. And then I, you know, when I knew it wasn't going to happen, I changed and made a lot of changes. And that's not only hard on the team, but it's also hard on the coaching staff because you don't have, you know, any continuity. You had a lot of new players. You're getting younger, a little more inexperienced. And this year I probably settled in to just ride it out a little bit and make some tweaks here and there. You know, we've got some good people. You know, we've got some of our veteran guys that we're going to need a little bit more. I think you see that around the league. You can go from, you know, team to team, and every team has one or two of their sort of key guys getting off to sort of slow starts. We've got the same as everybody else, but we've got some really good stories too. Our defense has been really pretty good until we started getting hits with we lost Yossi and Willsby, and you know, we didn't have Haig for a long time. So our defensive depth is in a really good spot. I think our goaltending is in a good spot. We're just going to have to find ways to score a little bit more. Penalty killing's been outstanding. We're going to have to manufacture goals on the 5-on-5 and then on the power play, which the power play is probably the biggest sore spot for us right now.
What is the timeline on Roman?
Roman is it's one of those injuries where I could see he's week to week. I could see him back in a couple of weeks, but it could be longer.
Come back with more with the general manager of the Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz, as we continue 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. You brought up the power play before we broke. Like that's perplexing, right? For everybody. So many great players.
Yeah, it is perplexing, but it was funny. I looked in the, you know, we get the stats like you do, and I was looking at you know, the power play percentage. I knew it would be right at the bottom, and then I saw Colorado and Carolina right next to us. So yeah. That doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me either. So I think it's one of those things where when you have some talent on your power play, sometimes you try to pass the puck into the net rather than shoot it into the net. And I think some of these teams that have a little bit of talent on their power play, they tend to do that sometimes. And it's to me, it's mindset. It's about delivering the puck and getting to those, you know, underneath the coverage a little bit to get in the interior and outnumber teams around the net. That's how I think most teams are able to do that. You look at some of the best power plays, and, you know, I always look at Edmonton. Connor McDavid gets into that very dangerous area where one person can't cover him, and he's got to get two people to cover him, and then he's, you know, at some point it's getting over to Drysdale over there or Bouchard, and it's in the net. So it's the attack mentality, I think, that you have to have, and all five players have to have it in sync there to be doing that at the same time.
Is your bigger concern the power play or 5-on-5, do you think?
I think, you know, watching us last night, I had no problem with our 5-on-5. The power play is more concerning to me, is that we got to manufacture some goals. We're not going to score, be a big 5-on-5 team. You know, teams are too good now. I mean, we played Philadelphia last night. I think they're top three or four in the league defensively, and we were able to get in the interior. We just weren't able to convert. You know, the 5-on-5 play, the goals, I think, are down a little bit. If you don't get them off the rush, you're probably not getting them in the defensive zone a lot. So you've got to generate on the power play a little bit. We're probably more of a 3-1, 3-2 type of team than we are, a 6-5 type of team.
Yeah, and your wins show that so far this year.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't got enough production from the whole 12 forwards, I would say.
And there's been nothing left in the search to get Steven Stamkos going. Do you talk to Stammer along with Burnett and that process?
Yeah, I probably stayed neutral a little bit. I try to encourage Steven. I think with anything, when you go through these dry spells, I had Ovi who had a dry spell. I think it was a big dry spell of like 7 or 8 games at one point. And it's for me, it's just shot volume a lot of times is finding ways to get open for that shot volume to start. I like the fact that Steven did moved around a little bit more. And got his shot volume up because he's one of the best shooters in the league in the last decade. And he's not the player he was, you know, when he was 26, 27. I mean, he's a lot older, but he still has the gift of the shot. He still has a high hockey IQ. And sometimes when you're not scoring, you tend to get paralyzed and not just play the game. And I think when, you know, he feels a little bit. So adjusting your game, and he's an intelligent player, is really critical for your evolution as a player. I mean, his game at 25 is probably a lot different than his game right now. And also for probably 7 or 8 or 10 years, he's had Kucherov with his as good as a passer and how deceptive he is in terms of his ability on the power play to get it to Steven. We don't have that. So he has to adjust his game. We have to adjust our game a little bit. And I'm very confident at the end of the day, Steven's going to get on a little bit of a heater here for us and we're going to be good to go.
It's always amazing to me to know that these guys who have performed at such high levels like Steven still can have issues of confidence every once in a while.
Yeah, I think that this game takes a piece of you. I mean, it humbles you. And just when you think you got it figured out, it comes and punches you in the nose a little bit. And so that's why I think the good players adjust. And sometimes it takes some time for them to adjust. I mean, I can look, like I said, I can look around the league and there's high quality players on almost every team that is. Every team that's maybe going through a little bit of a dry spell, their top guys haven't probably, they're going through that. And it's tough to have confidence when, you know, everybody that you walk by and go, and it's like, you know, if you walked out in the hallway where you are there and everybody goes, you know, you okay? What's going on? You know, you all right? You all right? You all right? Yeah, I'm fine. You know, but if everybody's telling you you're not all right, then you start to doubt yourself. So I think it's really hard for, I don't think Steven's gone through a lot of this in his career. So, you know, he's probably dealing with it in a different way than, you know, someone else does. So, but they all evolve. The great players do. I look at players like Joe Pavelski. He evolved his game you know, there's so many of those, I'll say veteran top players that they just learn to adjust and figured it out. And, you know, hopefully between the coaching staff and Steven and his teammates, we can get him on a heater and he can be very productive for us.
I read some quotes from Bruno, your head coach, Andrew Burnett, and he's had some strong words for a couple of guys. Is that just trying to take ownership of the whole situation, not let things unravel and get out of control?
Yeah, I think so. I think as an evolution of a young coach, and Andrew's a good young coach, is that, you know, when you come in and, you know, the general manager gives you a future Hall of Famer in Steven Stamkos and you get a playoff MVP in Jonathan Marchessault, and, you know, you're trying to appease them and you're trying to figure them out a little bit, and there's a respect factor and all those involved. I think Bruno's evolving as a coach. He's learning to balance the part of being demanding and being fair. And that's a hard thing for coaches to do sometimes. And you know, one of the great qualities I think that some of the best coaches in the league have is they're very demanding, but they have a human side. And I think they also have a ability to say what they think and hold no grudges. They, you know, and there's an honesty to it. And players like that honesty as long as you can get over it the next day. Whatever you say and whatever you feel, you're straight up with the player, and it's the same thing every day. Then players, I think, appreciate that.
Was that easy for you to do?
No. In the early years, it was tough. It's tough for, I think I grew into that where I would say my piece, and I could come in the next day and whatever bothered me the day before, you learn to start over again. It's like 50 first dates. Wake up the next day and forget about everything else, and let's be better today. I think, you know, players can feel they can feel tension if you like them or don't like them, or if you like their play or don't like their play. So I think you just be honest. Hey, I think you can do this better. You work together. I've gone with the theme a little bit. You know, last year there was a lot of negative around the Predators, and I said to the coaches, I said to our people in Milwaukee, I've said to our scouts, tell me what they can do. Just tell me what they can do. Don't tell me what they can't do, because that'll be a part where we have to use our development team and yourself to make them better in those areas. But let's enhance what they can do.
The thing about the 50 first dates philosophy works as long as the player doesn't hold a grudge.
Yes.
That's the other part of it, right?
It has to go both ways. So that's where you hear coaches trying to build relationships with players. I think Andrew's a tremendous relationship type of coach. You know, anybody who's played for Andrew will tell you, hey, you know, Andrew's a guy that you would play for. You know, and it showed. I know there was a lot of detractors last year saying, well, you know, fire the coach. But our players are playing hard. We just didn't have a good team. But they were playing hard. And that's what I look for is when the players go, you know, I'm just waiting for the next guy. That's what you don't
Can
want.
You see that? Have you been able you to can, see that
you
on
can,
teams?
You can. I think you can feel it. Yeah. And you can tell which guys the coach likes and doesn't like. It's body language, how they speak to them, how often they speak to them. Sometimes the best relationships you can have is having a coffee with someone and going by and give them a little a friendly jab to a player, but they know it's coming from a good place. It's like your best buddy, you know, if you walk into a glass door, your best buddy, you know, he's laughing his butt off, where someone who doesn't know you is going to, you know, be all concerned about you and pick you up. So, I think it's like that in the locker room, when guys can, you know, have a little fun with each other, then, you know, you got a good locker room and a good friend.
So what have you learned in this time as a manager, and are you a different manager now than when you started?
Yes. I think it's sort of like coaching. I think you come in and you feel like you got a good handle on things. And as you learn and grow, you understand that you don't have everything. I think that's the way it was as a coach. I came in and I you have the confidence of thinking that you know more than you do, I guess. And then you come into this world, and just like in coaching, I evolved. And the funny thing is the older you get, and the longer you do certain things, even though you probably have more, I probably have more knowledge in 40 some years of coaching. I always felt that, you know, even to this day, there's still a lot more to learn. So I'm still in that process, in the early process as a general manager. When I was younger, I had all the answers. And when I got older, I didn't have all the answers. Even though I probably had a lot more answers than when I was young. So I'm probably in that process again, with management. I'm surrounded by tremendous, assistant general manager and Brian Poyle and Scott Nickel and Jeff Kelty that I think as a team we work really, really well. And I learn as much from them as they probably learn from me. I'm sort of the, you know, the hockey guy, the field guy where, you know, they've got more of the, like Brian's really good with everything from the cap to the all the daily stuff that goes in on the legal side and under is very, it's just like his dad, very, very organized, and is passionate about the game. And Scott has done a great job with the development team in Milwaukee, and Jeff Kelty's been on the scouting side. So we talk daily as a group of four, and there's no decision that we make without all four people having a little bit of at least their voice heard.
Do you wear wins and losses differently as a manager versus a coach?
Yes. Actually, as a coach, you know, you took the losses probably harder immediately, and then you get to work to fix it. As a manager, the losses are probably a little bit longer. And they're you feel a little more helpless in that, you know, as a coach, I felt you had, it's like hands on, you know, I wrecked the car. Now I can fix it you know, as a coach, you could fix it. You're the guy with the mechanic, you're the body work, all that, you get it done. You're the hands on guy. And I feel like I'm removed from that a little bit. I have to think big picture. Yeah, we can fix something for the next couple weeks, possibly. But I, you know, I'm trying to build something here. Be patient with our young guys. Draft, move people on that are you know, maybe not going to be the core of our team in a couple years. And that's, you know, we've got some young guys coming, and I really need trying to get that 25 and under core to sort of grow up together.
How important is feel then? You said you're the feel guy. Is,
yeah, it still feels prominent? Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's harder. It's harder when you're up in the crow's nest. Mm. It really is. The game is really easy when me and John are watching games, it's really easy.
Yeah.
And you know, up there, you have all the answers, but you go on the ice, it's just a total different game. The angles are different. The speed is different. The emotions different, all that. It's just, it's really, you know, when you do something for 40 some years, you know, behind the bench, there's a feel, there's a, you know, a emotion, a, you know, you can feel the sweat, you can feel the passion, you can, you know, all the energy on the bench. And when you're, you know, where we have most of our press boxes and where we sit for games, we are so far, we're in the last row of the probably every building, it seems. And the game is easy to coach from up there. And it's very unemotional, if you will. Because you can't get close enough to the motion there as a coach, because, you know, I had it at a 110 level on the bench, where up in the stands, it seems, you know, it's at a lot less, the volume's down a lot, put it that way.
Do you feel the
pressure?
That's
how I know that I've got to get my eyes tested, is when I have trouble reading some of the numbers down there from out there. I don't need to go to the A, yeah, and the C and the, yeah, D in the eye chart.
Yeah, I always say one of the best things that people can do for our game, if you ever want to see the difference, is, you know, they have those seats between the benches.
Yeah,
you know, it just purchase one once in a while, and you'll start to understand what it is. It's a total different game down there. The speed, the skill, the effort, all the stuff that these players have to have in their skill set to be successful is just amazing.
Are you feeling the pressure of the compacted schedule?
We are a little bit because we're going to Sweden in a couple of weeks here.
Right.
And so our schedule is very compacted. And then because we have one of the probably one of the most used buildings in the United States here, and we've got the CMA awards coming here that kick us out of the building for 3 weeks. So they always sort of compact us in games on the front end, and then when we come back. So usually they send us out on two long road trips during the CMAs. This year we will go out to Sweden and then come back. So when we get back, we'll be pretty compressed on the back end as well. It's a big change when you go from playing three games a week to four,
right.
And then we just finished a stretch. We played five games in 8 nights.
Yeah. I think everybody has this week. Everybody's saying the same thing. So you're coming up. The managers' meetings are coming up. Barry, other than goalie masks, what do you think is going to get talked about? I mean, those darn goalie masks keep falling off.
A couple of things I think that we should talk about is some of the CBA stuff that has changed is that we had a new rule where a player is sent down and has to play one game in American Hockey League and before he can be recalled. I think what we found out, you have to, when you make rule changes, you try to adjust them. And the NHL is really good at adjusting the rules. A lot of the American Hockey League teams only play maybe two games in their first 2 weeks. So I one of the things I think we should talk about is, we talked about having that first week where if your team didn't have any games, that rule wouldn't apply. I think we should probably go to the end of October because of the American Hockey League doesn't play a lot of games. Like they're just starting to play games this week.
Right.
And so, you send a guy down and they don't play for a week, you might need that player back, and then you're recalling a different player that probably is not quite the same player that you need. So that'll be something that will be brought up by the managers. We all have our sort of management group that we all work on and make suggestions to the National Hockey League, and hopefully they listen to us sometimes.
Where are you on the goalie mask thing?
I don't know the solution. I think probably one of the solutions is for the goalie masks is obviously everything's a plastic clip. I don't know. There's probably this would probably be a really good question for the equipment managers because they're the MacGyvers of the business coming up with something that will keep the goalie masks on a little bit. But guys are that's part of guys are shooting for the ear hole now. A lot more than they ever have. I mean, when a lot of times when you get outside the dots, the guys say, well, always shoot for the, keep it on the ice and keep it on the short side. Well, guys are keeping it on the short side, but they're going ear hole now where guys are trying to put it in the pads for that play off the pads. And I think that's where the goalies are having a lot more trouble with that. So I don't have a perfect solution, but I think the MacGyvers of the world are the equipment guys, and they'll come up with if we come up with a rule of they got to keep them on or whatever, for them to stay on better. I think they're the guys that can do that.
As you know, though, for every action, there's going to be a reaction, and now we're going to see more. We're going to see more goalie delay of game penalties when they nod and the mask falls off.
Yeah, well, those are hard ones too.
Right.
There's just. If you've ever been hit by a puck, I don't have any permanent teeth anymore. I think we always talk about safety, and the guys are shooting the puck, 100 miles an hour, and that thing is a rock. And you'd hate to see someone lose an eye or get really hurt with the mask off. So. We've got to protect the goalies as best we can, but we've got to somehow tweak it a little bit because it's being a little bit more prevalent in the game.
Have a good trip to Sweden. How often have you been there?
Well, I've been there a few times, put it that way, either through hockey or through the scouting version of this, and I've gone over there on a holiday. So all that being said, it'll be a good trip. I think it's good. Those are great life experiences, not only for players. I think a guy like Philip Forsberg, who obviously is one of the showcase players over there. What he is so proud of his country. He's so proud of his community. I think he's got 100 or 200 kids from his hometown. He's bringing in for the hockey and session in between games. He is very, very appreciative of what the Preds and the everybody involved with the NHL. They do such a good job at these events. So looking forward to it. We're in the almost in the Eastern time zone and play in the Western Division. So the trip's not much different going to Sweden versus going to LA. It's probably an extra hour. So it's not too bad.
Philip, sounds like you going back to Dauphin on the Parkland. Proud of where you come from. Thanks for doing this, Barry. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Face-Off Inside the NHL returns, taking you deeper behind the scenes than ever before. See it all from the star-studded Four Nations Face-Off Tournament.
Us against the world, boys.
To the adrenaline of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm scared of you guys.
With candid interviews and backstage access, experience the sacrifice, the rivalries, and the determination that define NHL greatness.
Just when I thought last year couldn't be topped, here we are.
A new season of Face-Off Inside the NHL. Watch now only on Prime Video.
Shout out to Jay-Z who walked in. I don't know Jay-Z, but he stepped in and made sure that conversation happened through the technical challenges at the start, which had nothing to do with us. That was all on him.
Listen, Barry is not paid to know how to run a computer. Barry is paid to make decisions and make trades and create a roster. Jay-Z is paid to make the computer work. And he did it.
That
was his job. Attaboy, Jay-Z. And it's, by the way, it's a different Jay-Z than everybody knows the other Jay-Z.
I wonder if Barry would, with the team on the road and the CMAs coming in, he's like, probably like, I would like to watch the CMAs too. Sweden coming up.
After all the YouTube stuff 2 years ago.
YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I know. YouTube. Yeah, I know. I've got YouTube on the brain these days. after all the U2 stuff, there's no way Barry can say he's sneaking off to a concert. There's no chance.
That solid reply from you. They are in Vegas on New Year's Eve this year.
Wow. So you and Barry can celebrate together.
It's a matinee, and there'll be some shows, obviously, on the strip that night. We'll see if Barry wants to get out to a show. You talked about the mask and protecting the goalies. We had a situation in one of the Golden Knights games where Adin Hill lost his mask and dove over and made a save without a point-blank slap shot.
Right.
That he made a save on. That was super dangerous.
Yes, but that's the way the rule works. You know, if the team has a pending scoring chance, play continues. Should the rule change? It's like continuation in soccer. It's like it what happens in basketball. I mean, there are other issues at stake in playing the game. And scoring opportunities are so few and far between in hockey. How can you take one away from a team?
Well, you could have a choice.
That's the old school thinking, right?
You finish the play if there's an opportunity, or you blow it down and you give it a penalty. Which one would you rather them adopt?
Oh, but you can't give a penalty. You can't give a penalty if it was an accidental clip that broke, getting hit with a puck or getting hit with a stick or so. You can't. So that's the gray area with this discussion. And you know as well as I do, Darren, we have seen goaltenders, mysteriously find ways to shake their helmets loose, their masks loose, And so it's a difficult one. If we are 100% on player safety, the whistle has to blow.
Yeah. You know, goalies don't wear chin straps.
Well, maybe they should.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they should. But they would say, you know, then I don't have as much freedom with my mask. If you don't want to compromise the style of play, and you have a scoring chance, and the mask falls off, you continue. So that's the dilemma. That's the one side of the coin to the other. I'm of the belief. I am still of the belief that if there's a quality scoring chance, the play should continue until the quality chance is done.
I'm with you on that. And if you're shaking your head to knock the mask off,
that's a delay of game to me.
The mask will stay on your head.
Yeah.
Even though a strap comes undone.
Right.
But it's not comfortable.
You've seen a ton of times guys yelling at refs.
Yeah.
Or shaking their helmets to get them off.
They shake it off so they can get the full whistle right away. A major signing in the National Hockey League this week. Marty Natchez inks that long-term deal with the Colorado Avalanche. 11.5 AAV. And the immediate response from the hockey world was, why didn't they just give that money to Mikko Rantanen at the time?
Even if they matched Rantanen's contract in Dallas, it would have been $4 million over the term of 8 years.
Because Rantanen got 12, Natchez gets 11.5.
Yeah.
Is that fair, what Colorado's dealing with right now?
Wait, fair? It's of their own doing. It's of their own, in my opinion, it's of their own volition. They made a decision to be hardline with Mikko Rantanen. They then decided if they were going to hardline and they couldn't get to the number they wanted, they were going to trade him. And you know, they in kind they got Martin Natchez, who's a good player. He's not Mikko Rantanen,
but he's going to have the best years of his career there.
Well, that's what they hope. I mean, that's the thing. That's what they hope, that he's going to have his best years. But they could not be in a position of losing two stars like Rantanen and Natchez in an 18-month period. They couldn't.
And Natchez played it beautifully. He didn't say anything was going to say, I'm long-term Colorado, I love it here. He stayed neutral on it and played it into 8 by 11.5.
And probably got more than I think a lot of people expected because of the Rantanen hangover.
Right.
Probably got more. So congratulations to Martin Natchez. Now he has to back it up and play it to that level consistently. He's had a good start to this season, but he has to maintain it and do it for 82 games. 82 games. One of the reasons he got traded from Carolina was that he was great for 50 and not so great for 30.
I would love to have a conversation with Nathan MacKinnon off to the side just to see where he is in all this. Because he wasn't happy with Rantanen when Rantanen got moved out. He was shocked by it. And now 11.5 to 12, and I lost my buddy. Like Colorado would play this differently if they could do it all over again, right?
In 2020 hindsight, I would hope so. I would hope so. I really would. Unless there's an underlining story that we have never heard and we'll never hear.
Or we're playing it my way. And that's the way we're going to do it.
Wow. Listen, had they paid Rantanen, I believe that they would have played a lot more playoff games last year than they did. I think they would have beaten Dallas.
Well, yeah, because Rantanen beat Colorado.
I know. I think they would have beaten Dallas. And I think they would have gone at least to the conference final. And that would have paid for the contract by itself. So that's the risk you take. You know, and we don't see big names traded like that in the NHL very often because people don't want to take that risk. And I'll tell you what, maybe there's a lot of managers learning a lesson about that kind of thing with exactly what went on.
11.5 for Natchez, 12 for Rantanen and Marner, by the way. So those are two steals, those two deals. And McDavid at 12.5. Natchez is a pretty good company there.
But as you have already noted, and I agreed, you know, it's like gymnastics judging. You get rid of the high and you get rid of the low. So you get rid of the Kaprizov contract and you get rid of the McDavid contract, and then you can judge where the contracts are.
Oh, how do you see Nashville? Let's loop back and finish it there. Barry seemed to feel like the pain part is over. Do you see them challenging for a playoff spot? They should. I think they should be in the mix. Like Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault and Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and
Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly, yeah, no. Exactly. They're not playing it out.
I don't have them in the playoffs. I actually, in listening to Barry today, I actually heard that this is going to be a little longer in rebuilding them than, not that they anticipated, but now that they have a plan in place, a process in place.
Yeah, he's letting this play out as right. opposed to last year.
And if he's making comparisons, as he did with us, to the Flyers, and he thinks the Flyers are ahead of them, then there's a couple of more years of pain in Nashville.
That surprised me hearing that, because I didn't have the Flyers noticeably ahead of Nashville in their process.
I'm just going off what Barry told us.
Yeah,
right?
No, and so, he would know more than us.
I would hope so.
Well, more than you, anyway.
Good point.
Yeah. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the baseball, and have a great Halloween. Are you going to dress up when you give out the candy while you watch the baseball?
No, I'm going to be in Edmonton watching the baseball.
All right.
I'm not getting home. I'm not getting home in time.
We have a matinee today against Colorado, and then we get to come home.
Have fun at the matinee.
Dressing up, baby. And while we're dressing up, I will have a thought. You will creep into my brain because I don't think you like the announcers dressing up.
I don't.
I figured, and I'll be like, John, this one's for you.
Yeah. Actually, I don't mind seeing Lawless dressed up, but I would tell you that I see him dressed up all the time, so it's okay.
good point. Have a great weekend. Enjoy.
Mark Messier Monday.
Ooh, Mess Monday. It's a messy Monday. Perfect. Love it. Book it on your calendars, everybody. Best guests in any hockey podcast you'll find. It's hockey, 100% hockey with Millard and Shannon. I almost went Hockey Central at noon there.
Please.
That would have been a wild one.
A gaffe.
Flashback. We'll talk to everybody on Monday with Mark Messier, the Hockey Hall of Famer.